do this morning is I'm going to read this scripture up here, and then we're going to have a drama, which will perfectly illustrate the sermon before we've even heard it. I can say that because I'm in it. Yeah, no, you just have to just follow. That's it. Just follow the themes. It'll be real obvious to everyone exactly what's going on, 100%. And then after the drama, the kids can go to their appropriate classes, and we're going to bring Debbie up to talk about 2 Corinthians 4, the second half of it. So, without further ado, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18, this is the words of St. Paul, and by inspiration, the words of the Holy Spirit. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever.
Boogie. Don't you think Stuart just sounds way more glamorous than Paul's?
Okay, so we have a really interesting passage today. The interesting thing about it is it's like two passages. Because Paul says this whole thing, but he also refers to another scripture. So you got two for the price of one. This is something we do all the time, right? Sometimes you'll bring up an idea and you punctuate it by mentioning the name of the song. We do this, like, or a line from a movie, and it brings out this whole thing where you remember a lot more than just these couple of words. This whole picture comes into your mind, right? Well, Paul's doing that here. It was kind of like, I was thinking a good example of this, and I thought, what if Paul said, "Remember the eye of the tiger," right? Does anybody in this room has never heard of that song, right? You all know the reference, and a lot of you know what the whole reference is about, this movie and Sylvester Stallone and how he's kind of on the bottom, and I mean, he's hasn't fought for a long time, and he comes in and he works his way through a bunch of hard stuff in his life to get to be the champion, right? The champion boxer of the world. But in the meantime, I mean, on the way there, he's like beat down, he's been beat up, he's, you know, they've told him if he fights again, he might die. A lot of these things come up. So there's this whole picture of adversity and him powering through and keeping his eyes on the prize. And Paul's actually doing something like that here. Although I think I would kind of mix Eye of the Tiger with Amazing Grace to make this one work. Anyway, I mean, even the kids on my school bus know this song. I'm driving along and I turn on the radio and Eye of the Tiger comes on and they know every word to the song. They're grade school kids. Wow, crazy. So Paul does this with a song. The Psalms are a song. It's kind of like bringing up a hymn. Like if I brought up Amazing Grace, you would get the idea of what I'm talking about. Because they have sung this psalm in their synagogues. And he's talking to people of faith here, so they pretty much know the words. So when he says this little thing about I believed God, so I spoke. Ding, ding, the song comes off in their head, right? So go ahead and put up the... sorry, yeah, I had Rocky there before. Go back one slide just so we can see Rocky.
Oh, we had it there for
a minute. Oh, I'm sorry.
We already had Rocky up.
That's all right, fine. All right, so we're in Psalm 116 is the one he's referring to. And I thought I'd read it to you so you get an idea of what he's talking about. It's kind of long, and I chose the voice so it uses eternal for God. I love the eternal. For not only does he hear my voice, my pleas for mercy, but he leaned down when I was in trouble and brought his ear close to me. So as long as I have breath, I will call to him. Once I was wound in the wrappings of death, the terror of dying in the grave had a grip on me. I could not get away, for I was entombed in distress and sorrow. Then I called to the name of the Eternal. Oh, Eternal One, I'm begging you, save me. The Eternal is full of grace and naturally just. Our God is compassionate and merciful, and the Eternal watches over the naive, or the knave, or yeah, whichever. Whenever I was knocked down, he reached down and saved me. Oh, my soul, return and relax. Come to your rest, for the Eternal has showered you with his favor. God, you alone rescued my soul from the grips of death, my eyes from weeping and my feet from slipping. I will come before the Eternal as long as I journey in the land of the living. Now here's the line he's referencing. I believed your promise, therefore I spoke. So what he says, I'm in deep trouble. In my confusion, I blurted out, and all people are liars. How will I pay back the Eternal for all his graciousness to me? I will raise a cup of deliverance and call out the name of the Eternal, and I will fulfill the promises I made to him here as a witness to all his people. Precious in the eyes of the Eternal are the deaths of those who follow after him. O Eternal One, you know I'm your servant, a child of your maidservant devoted to you. You have cut me loose from the chains of death that bind me, and I come eager to offer sacrifice of gratitude and call on the name of the Eternal. I will fulfill the promises I made to him here as a witness to all his people. In the courts of the Eternal's temple, among the people of God's city, O Jerusalem, praise the Eternal. Praise God. That's the verse he's referencing. David's doing an interesting thing here. He's got all this stuff where people are pursuing him, trying to kill him, trying to stop him at every turn. And what does he do? He praises God because he recognizes the power of God more than he's recognizing his troubles. He's recognizing that God's got his hand on him and he will bring him out and it'll be done. And what he does is worship, thanksgiving and sacrifice. So that's what David is referencing here. Someone really praising God in the middle of a hard time. And not looking at the hard time, but looking at God. Last week, Aaron was telling us about earlier in the chapter when Paul was telling the believers in verse 8, which is on the next slide, I think. We're experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We're confused, but we aren't depressed. We're harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. So the question I have for you is, how can we be okay with going through hardship? Oh, the Christian life will make it so you never have a trouble again? If anybody ever told you that, leave. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. The Bible doesn't play that out. Over and over, it's like, you will be persecuted for my sake. Hello? But how do we we deal with that persecution? How do we not get bogged down by it? How do we not get depressed by it? Why can Paul go through this and not get weighed down? He says, Corinthians 2, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. And this next part is the key here. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise him with raise us with Jesus and present us together with himself, with you, to himself with you. So there's our promise. It's a lot. It's more than it looks like if you just read it. It's huge. The Lord's promise is what Paul is looking at. He's telling us to remember it, to believe it. God promises to raise us up with Jesus from death to life, to conquer sin and death in us. And after that, everything else is small stuff, right? If death can be conquered, then what is this little stuff that you're worried about? Paul wasn't talking about little troubles either. I mean, look at what Paul went through. He was on the verge of dying, I don't know how many times. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was pursued. He was in courts everywhere trying to argue for his faith. He was chained up in prison. He was left alone. He was told by the people that he was, no, when he went away, people kind of tried to derail everything he said and pull the church in another direction and mess up his old ministry. I don't know about you, but if that was happening to me, I might have a really hard time deciding to stay in the ministry, right? Really hard time trying to decide that I'm really going to keep doing this because I'm feeling beat up a lot here. But I'll tell you what, Paul isn't alone in this. We've got people right now in other countries who are risking their lives just saying they're a Christian. I don't know if any of you remember Lena. I'm sure a lot of you do, Lena and Sujin. Lena is from Syria, and her whole family, her whole village, was pretty much taken into captivity by ISIS not all that long ago. They took them and they put them in these buildings. They separated them, men into one, women into another, and they didn't know whether they were going to live another day or whether they were going to be taken out and killed with a sword or what was going to happen. They went through this. They didn't even get to bathe. They basically just were left in there to think about it. And they didn't give up their faith. Why is that? How can you do that? How can they not despair? By focusing on the promise of God. By trusting in God. Well, you can say that, but how do you do that in the middle of all that, right? How do you trust in God? It's because you have to look at things in a certain way. You have to remember that the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff. Give me the slide there about the balance. God's glory, eternity, versus everything else. Everything else. Everything else, he says, is light. Afflictions. The man who's beaten and tortured and all of that says these are light afflictions compared to the weight of glory. Not only that, but they're transitory. They won't last. When this life goes away, that's all gone. And this is just a short time in a very long eternity. And if we keep our eyes on that, it changes things. thinking even 9/11. I cried when they mentioned on the radio it had been 17 years, and yet it hits my heart every time I think about that day. It was huge. It hurt. The whole country hurt. It changed everything. But even that is small when you think about eternity. The stuff that's beyond, the stuff we can't see, the stuff God promises us because of Jesus, because we're going to be raised with him because he conquers death. Paul goes on to say that the troubles we're enduring actually build up into something good. He says, for our present troubles are small and they won't last very long, yet they, the troubles, produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Our troubles are like a bank account that turns into good stuff. I know that's weird and backwards, but this whole Christian life is weird and backwards. And yet it's right. Maybe this will help. I was married once before, and it was not good. It was bad. My ex-husband, the minute he said I do, decided that he was done. I was hooked in, and suddenly I had no more say-so in my whole world. And he wouldn't even let me turn on the heat when I was sick. I had a horrible cold. I thought was going to go in pneumonia. And I wasn't allowed to turn on the heat. Even when I was too weak to go and stoke the wood stove to get the house warmer. That's the kind of guy this guy was. He had me pay into the house until he divorced me. And then he claimed that we were just renting the house from his parents. And so I wouldn't get any of the money back. It was all his. Everything was his. Everything was about him. But you know what? I can look at that and wallow in that and feel horrible about that. But it actually has done something good in my life. It's made me understand what a good thing I have with Mel. My marriage now is a good thing. And even when I have struggles with it and my heart says, this day, I can look and go, it's never as bad as that. It's good. It's good. And I can work on it and we can work on stuff together and we can make stuff better because I have this past that helps me understand the difference between a good thing and a bad thing. The other thing it does for me is that it made me sympathetic to people who've been divorced. Actually, before I got divorced, I considered divorced people just, I don't know, kind of weak, or I don't know, they didn't try hard enough. Or I was really judgmental. It was not good. It broke that in me, thankfully. And it helped me understand, and it helped me to be sympathetic, and it helped me to maybe help some other people through some things and maybe even help people avoid some of these things. So anyway, if in this life I can see a trial like that made me just want to die, turn into a good thing, what kind of stuff is going to happen in eternity with that bank of glory? I mean, if this is a shadow of what's to come, what amazing good stuff is really yet to come? It's got to be good stuff, right? It's got to be amazing. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. So you remember when you were a kid I mean, everybody's had a sliver or some owie, right? Where it just made you scream. Ah! It's the end of the world. Cry, ah! But now, if you look back at it, you probably can't even remember what happened. Right? It was the end of the world. And now the perspective is given to you that says, no, it was a small thing. In short, good stuff is coming. If you can just stay focused on God and the glory to come. In this world, we're very focused on the physical. What's right in front of us tends to take our attention. The things that we feel, the things that we taste, the things that we see are hard to ignore because we live on this physical plane. This physical plane will disappear. We don't always understand what we see. Sometimes we see something and it blocks us, and it's not really what's there. Go ahead and put up that wall. We're blocked. And yet if we look closer, there's more to the picture. There's more to what we're seeing than what we think we see. Go ahead to go to the next one. There's hidden things. Things that are hidden from us because we're not looking in the right places. We don't always understand. We can't see the truth until we're ready to believe it. Aaron was saying that. We're blind to the truth unless we believe. Go to the next slide, I think. Yeah, it's blank. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, we can miss the good stuff of God because we're looking in the wrong places. Because we're not looking at God, we're looking at our troubles. We're looking at the stuff, the physical. We can miss the good stuff. Trials, suffering, desire for better position, better job, better money, I need a new car, I need a new life, I need a new wife, I don't know. These things we look at and yet we're not seeing things right. I've noticed that people tend to stay the same unless they're motivated. And what motivates us? The big motivator? Pain. I don't know about you, but I don't change very much unless something is uncomfortable and pushes me out of my rut. And I think that every now and then God uses pain to push me forward. Something isn't working in a relationship and it's painful, so I do something to fix it. Something isn't working about my environment and I choose to do something to fix it. Otherwise, I might just stay where I'm at and I won't grow. Pain is a growth tool. It's not a pleasant one, and I must say, I would rather take any other option. If you listen to Beth, it's like, please, Lord, give me the easy option. I love the way she prays. Believe it or not, it actually sometimes worked to resolve things before it became painful. I've started to look for ways that my life could be better or try to be more sensitive to what needs to change in my world before it becomes a tragedy. That's part of looking towards God too. Paying attention to what it is God says in His Word, where Christ is leading us. God wants us to grow up. We're not here for no reason. Sometimes I call this like the boot camp for heaven. It's like this is where we learn who we're supposed to be to live with God. He uses these trials so that we can grow. But it's good. It's short. It's temporary. It's light. The reward far, far outweighs any of the pain. So I've got this saying that someone said to me once. Is that in the next slide? Oh, this is focusing on Jesus. Can you see Jesus?
Yeah.
It depends on where you focus. If you focus on what's not Jesus, you won't see him.
It's hieroglyphics.
Okay, my weird handwriting. But if you look for Jesus, he's there. If we're looking at our troubles, we'll miss him. Anyway, someone said to me once, oh, there it is. Don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff. It's all small stuff. I say that to myself over and over again when I start to get focused wrong. So I just want to ask you a couple questions, and then we'll be done. Do your problems defeat you? Or do they make you stronger? Do you learn and grow because of adversity and struggles? Or do they crush you? The difference is whether or not you focus on Jesus. I'm going to leave you with a video, hopefully this will work. That's a matter of perspective. I love this video, so I wanted you to see it. We missed a good part.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go back just a little.
Oh yeah, this is.
Are we gonna look at our troubles? That puts everything upside down in the spiritual world? Or are we going to look to Jesus? Are we going to focus on him so he can make everything right side up and right in our life? Even with the trouble, it's still good. God is still good. He still cares about you. He still loves you. And he's offering you eternity. Pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, precious Lord, I don't know how to describe how good you are. I want to worship you with everything I have. We lift up to you our lives. We entrust them to you. Please let us in on this amazing journey with you. Let us look to you and not to our problems, not to our trials and our troubles, but look to you always. I ask you to carry us through with as little trials as possible, but I ask you to carry us through despite everything, because that's the good stuff. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.